Let's go before the Father. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you to take reign over everything that comes from my mouth. May it all be from you. Lord Jesus, we declare you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there is none more mightier than you. You're the Almighty One. Lord Jesus, have your reign in this evening. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen. So I want to start out because we did 2 weeks in Navajo. And one of the things I want to share is I know Melissa hears this all the time. You guys have heard this too. Is the Lord gives us what we need. It's so amazing how our flesh says, you know, I need this and this and this, and really don't. The Lord gives us right what we need. And one of the things that I've learned from Calvin Scott, Pastor Calvin, is I've learned the power of a short, he calls them his 3-minute sermons. I don't even know if he knows he does them, but occasionally he does them. And I've just clicked with them when I go to Mexico. Because when I go and preach, it's usually to drug addicts. And some of these guys are hardcore drug addicts, like heroin. And they can't handle a 45-minute sermon. They just can't do it. They just don't have it in them. So I've learned the power of 3-minute sermons. What I do, here's what I do. I weave them. I say, okay, I got a theme. Boom, 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 boom. When I start seeing them fade, okay, now's the time to stop. It works great. So I have one real quick. So one thing I've learned is examples. People will long forget your theology, but a lot of times they won't forget your example. And I was teaching on the traps of the enemy, how the enemy wants to take us down. And I brought this. I don't know if you guys can see what's in my hand. I don't know. Some of you folks know what these are. Some maybe have never seen one. This is a trap. So what I did was I pulled this out. And in Mexico, some of the places are pretty rural, so they know what these are. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. And let's see. I got it kind of tangled up. Okay. Okay. We'll be real careful with these because they can be very dangerous. So I said it. I said it with my foot. Oh, I think I got it bound. So what I do is I will get this in front of everybody, and they know what it is. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Yeah, it should. It's old and rusty, but believe it or not, it works. So what I do is I set it, and I can't set it right now. So I set this, and in these drug rehabs, even in the prison, I can't bring this to the prison, I asked them, I said, okay, because, you know, we got a lot of machos in the room. I said, who here is brave enough to touch this round piece with their tongue? And they're like, nobody. And so I teach them on Romans, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And I connect the scripture and I say, okay, you guys know what happens when an animal gets stuck in here. And they all know, well, when the trapper comes, he's going to come and kill the animal. And they'll never forget that. Satan, he lures you in with this nice little trap. And he'll even bait it with something that looks real tasty. And he gets you. And I weave these through. And this is just one of many. And sorry, it didn't work out as well as I thought. But yeah, Pastor Calvin, you taught me that. And I weave these through. And one thing I learned is the Lord taught us so much by parables, stories. Because our heart just won't forget. And I've got lots of others, but actually that's not really what I was going to preach on. And the title of what I have today is, my message is, The Spirit World colon, it's closer than you think. The spirit world, it's closer than you think. Okay? And I think most of you guys know me. We came down here 4 years ago. I was an engineer for 23 years. I have two diplomas. I have a master's of electrical engineering from ASU, and I have a bachelor's of mechanical engineering from Ohio State. My family is very educated. My father had his PhD in chemical engineering. He also had his MBA. My mother was a school teacher. So I was brought up in what the world would say, an educated family. And I'm here to tell you, there's a spirit world that many people don't even understand. And the best way I can explain it is scientists know things exist because they can test them and they repeat themselves. Okay, right? I mean, that's how engineers work. That's how scientists work. They have a theory. They test it, and it happens. It must be true. And I'm going to tell you, in the spirit world, I have undeniable, countless examples that there is a spiritual war going on right now. We can't see it. And the best way I can explain it is there's a thin curtain between us and the spirit world. And the spirit world senses what's going on. And this is... Here's the other thing that amazes me. When Pastor Calvin started to talk about Elijah, I almost said, wait, that's what I was going to teach on, almost. Actually, I'm going to teach on Elisha. And the spirit world, one of the things that is the most amazing thing, and I love this church, we have two of the most anointed people I know pastoring, is... they understand this concept of an anointing. That God's people have an anointing, and you have two options. You can choose to walk in your anointing, or you can choose to ignore it. Okay? And again, going back to, I have countless examples of this spiritual world existing. It happens today. But the best one I have right now, the best one I can think of, and I put in my notes, is we were in Chihuahua 3 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago? 3-4 weeks ago. And we were going to, I was with our friends, Lalo and Lala. You guys know them. They've been here. And my friend and I, we're going to a hardware store. Okay? So one of the things that we need to understand is the spirit world doesn't stop when we go and do the normal things of life. It doesn't. We were going to a hardware store. I wanted to buy a Mexican hoe. So we were going to it. We stopped the car. I get out. My friend gets out. Melissa and his wife stay in the back seat. And I could see a demon-possessed guy walking down the street. I can tell because their eyes bulge. I don't know why. They just do. And I saw he was very demon-possessed. And he walked by me about maybe 10 feet away. Not very far. And I got out of the car. All I said in a very light voice, and Melissa was there and she heard it. I said, Cristo vive. Christ lives. That's all I said. I said it just like that. I didn't yell it. I said a very, very low tone. And so me and my friend go into the hardware store, and Melissa and his wife experience the guy go off into a tirade. You would have thought I'd like poked him with a stick or something. He just went off. And my friend's wife was like, all he said was Cristo vive. That's all he said. In the spirit world, when you're in your anointing, the enemy is getting poked. And he is feeling pain right now. And I'm going to go through several other things. And I'm going to actually teach on Elisha. But a couple of things I think was really important to set the stage in the spirit world of what I've seen. In the spirit world, the sins of your father, the sins of your parents, somehow affect you. It's not fair, but they do. I wish they didn't, but they do. I can see it. And, You know, I wish it wasn't true, but I see it. And I see generations. I see it in my own family. And I had a discussion with a young boy just last week. A real nice kid. He's really a good kid. And we've known him for years. And he came over to the house and we were talking. And I can see in his eyes that he has, you know, like a lot of young boys, he has eyes for the girls. And he has eyes for Samantha, of course. And that's why he comes over. And anyway, I started talking to him, and I started learning this young man doesn't have a dad, okay? Not just that, he doesn't even know his dad's name. He has no idea even who his dad is. And when we watch him at night on the street, he's acting just like his dad, even though he has no idea even who his dad is. And this is one of the things that I wish they didn't happen, but it does. And I can tell you, being a person too, that I went through the years of struggling with addiction. And a lot of addicts, and that's why I just can connect to them. They have a spirit of abandonment and rejection. And I see it. I feel it. And one of the things that has totally blown my mind is it repeats itself. People that have been abandoned or rejected will in turn abandon and reject others. And I wish this didn't happen, but it does. And I can trace even in my own family. I traced it back in the lineage of my father's father. A man who got, my father's grandfather who got killed in a coal mine accident in France over 100 years ago. And that spirit of rejection passed to my grandfather, passed to my father, passed to me, and by the power of Christ, it will end. It will end. And that's the other thing I do want to let people know this too, and everyone does know this, is we are not slave to our past. We're not slave to our history. We're not slave to the bondage of our parents, though it does affect us. We have to acknowledge it, but we can terminate it. And the best example I've ever seen, and we all know this, is the spirit world. We have dominion over the spirit world. As believers in Jesus Christ, we can terminate that curse. And a lot of people, when I do teach on the spirit world, I've had my critics say, well, you know, we all have free will. Yes, we do. But those sins of the past, they do haunt. They do hurt. And the best example I've ever given somebody is, okay, here's an example. Someone decides to go drink a fifth of tequila. If that person gets in a car and that person happens to get into an accident and kill somebody, is that person going to prison? Yes, they are. Well, I've known people in prison. They will go to prison. We have dominion over these spirits. We are not victims. But at the same time, it's important to know they exist and that there's a war going on. And again, I wish it didn't happen, but I see it all the time. I see it in the prisons. I see it in the drug rehabilitation centers, where people who have been abused abuse others. People who have abused drugs, well, their parents abused drugs. And it's a cycle that can be broken and will be broken. And, okay, I don't want to dwell too much on the negative. I want to talk something about it. Just be, one of the things that's just amazing, when there's anointing in the room, things connect and things flow. And one of the things I've seen is there are spiritual strongholds that we should not ignore. There are spiritual strongholds. I can tell you just from, you know, being part of this church over the last 3 years, there's a spiritual stronghold within this church, and it's beautiful. It's called praise. This praise team is amazing. It's not just musical talent. It's amazing. And we need to acknowledge that there is a spiritual stronghold of praise here. And let me tell you what the spirit world is going to want. The spirit world is going to want you to stop. And I talked about the evil spirits. The evil spirits want to terminate praise. The evil spirits want to terminate the joy of going in God's presence. Okay? And I see these angelic spirits. I remember we had some prophecy. I don't know who it was, but some prophets came or people came to Douglas and they said, there are angels up on these hills. There are. There are. And right now, they actually outnumber the demons 2-1. You guys know that. Too many times I've heard sermon talking about evil spirits. They're outnumbered 2-1. And the Lord is above them all. So we have no fear. We have no fear. And I see just examples of these strongholds. Faith Community Church has a stronghold of praise. And when this church operates in the anointing, beautiful things are going to flow. Okay? Well, Melissa and I, we spent time with, some of you guys know, Hanaro and Abdulia Cantua in El Shaddai and Tessia. And I was amazed. We were having dinner, and I saw a stronghold. The stronghold was everybody at the table. Everybody was a teacher. Everybody. And there was like 8 people. I was like, all of a sudden it just hit me. Abdulia's a teacher. Her son Adan's a teacher. Melissa's a teacher. I'm a teacher. Martha's a teacher. I just went around like everybody was a teacher. That's a stronghold. That is of the Lord. And children are going to be brought into the kingdom by this stronghold. Okay? So, again, I do a lot of word studies. Spirits. The world that we live in, the carnal world we live in, rejects them. They think we're talking silliness. They think we're talking of decades of ignorance. And I'm going to say no. They're more real. Again, I that example I gave of that demon possessed guy going off in Chihuahua, I've seen countless examples of that. Simple words just spoken will cripple people who are under the control of demonic spirits. But I do want to give some scripture, because as believers we have the truth. We have the truth right in the palms of our hands. In 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 4. And most of you know this. And I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Another sermon. So that verse 6, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." And right now, we need to ask the Lord for that spirit of discernment, to be able to determine the spirits that are going to come up against us, that are of the flesh, that are of the enemy, and the spirits of truth. And also to acknowledge the spiritual strongholds the Lord has given us. I wish I could do this to everyone in a room, but every one of you guys has spiritual strongholds. Our pastors, I remember just before we went, this is another thing that actually I'm going to teach on. Is the enemy hates your spiritual stronghold. He wants to take it down. And Pastor Calvin and Pastor Barbara are two of the most anointed pastors that I've ever met. And I clearly see anointing of pastors over these two. Clearly, without doubt. But I remember this happened just before we left, where the enemy was attacking Pastor Calvin. And we came up here and prayed for him. Do you guys remember that? He was trying to discourage this man of God. Okay? And that's where we got to know, okay, that's of the devil. When we get spirits that try to discourage us from our anointing, it's of the devil. Okay? And I, before I go into the text, okay, I feel it all the time. The Lord gave me an anointing. This happened 7 years ago, and it's to go into the prison. It's to preach good news to those who are incarcerated, into the rehabs and the detention centers, and I love it. And when I'm in my anointing, the enemy is afraid of me. And one of the things, you guys probably know this, people in Mexico grew up differently than people here. They didn't grow up watching John Wayne movies. So when they look at a big guy, you know, like Mitch, okay, on the flesh, they'll get like 3 or 4 guys around them. And they've done it to me. They're not, it's of the devil. The devil wants to discourage. The devil wants you in fear. But I'm going to tell you, when you're anointing, you don't have to worry about it. And I've been surrounded. One time, Melissa and Samantha were, they didn't know what happened. It was at a gas station in Hermosillo. And they went into the bathroom, and I was waiting outside. And a group of drug addicts come around me, and they started circling me. And I did notice one guy was here. These two guys were trying to get around me. But guess what? I was in my anointing. I said, no! You're going to hear the gospel! And they, whoa! And they did. And it happens all the time. When you're in your anointing, there is no fear. Last time I was in a prison in Obregon, I had a guy come up to me and go, give me your watch. And I said, no! That's poverty. Get away from me. He did. So I'm going to teach on the anointing. And when you operate in anointing, there is no fear. Actually, the enemy caves. He caves. He's fearful. Okay, so I'm going to go to, this is where I got scared, Pastor Calvin. I'm going to go to 2 Kings. Melissa, is my water? Excuse me. Okay, I'm going to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Okay, I'm going to start in verse 1. Okay, all right. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elisha said to Elijah, I'm sorry, these names kind of can morph. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Bethel, house of God. Verse 3. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, Elisha, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives, this is Elisha again, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elisha said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, Elisha again, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elisha took his mantle, that's his garment, rolled it up and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. It's the Jordan River. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elisha said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, Elijah said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Verse 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elisha went up by whirlwind into heaven. I'm going to stop there. Okay, this is amazing because I've always seen it and felt it, that this guy Elijah, this prophet, he was always my favorite. He did just amazing things. Do you guys remember when he took out the prophets of Baal? Oh, I love that, Mount Carmel. Took them out. But then you remember he fell into that depression where he fled Jezebel. And then in the quiet voice, the Lord told Elisha, this great man of God, I have 7,000 reserved who have not bowed their knee to Baal, that they're ready. So let's go anoint this guy. And there was two other Syrian kings, but you're to anoint this young man, Elisha. And this is what amazes me about the Word of God is it flows. I never thought this till Pastor Callan just said it today. Elijah, it's Jehovah is God. God is Jehovah. God is Lord. And I was actually teaching in Mexico on John. You guys know this, John 14. I'm not going to dwell too much on this, but this is what the Lord says. It's in red letters. John 14, verse 12 said, "Most assuredly, I say to you," this is the Lord speaking to his disciples, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Did you guys catch that? The Lord's telling us we're going to do more than what he did. Isn't that amazing? And you know what's amazing about Elijah, this follower of Elijah? He actually did more. Actually, you start looking at all the things he did. He actually did more. He didn't do the big ones. He did some pretty amazing ones, though. And this whole theme of the anointing, I'm just stuck on it. I'm just here. This is it. Is when you're in your anointing, great things will happen. And also expect the enemy to come up against your anointing. And I could do this, but I won't. But I know a lot of you people, I know some of the anointings of the people in this room. And I'm going to tell you, don't let the enemy discourage you with that anointing. Because it probably has been passed on from generation to generation. You may not even know it. And I know the Lord has given me the anointing of preaching the good news to the incarcerated. And I was not born, I didn't grow up in a home where the Spanish language was spoken. My grandparents were French, so I heard that. But the Lord has given me the ability to lead thousands. I don't even keep track anymore. It's in the thousands. I don't know where it is. I've led thousands to the Lord in the Spanish language. And the one thing I do know is my anointing somehow came from my grandfather. My grandfather spoke French, English, Italian, some Portuguese and Spanish. My father spoke English, French, Japanese, and some German. And the Lord has just given me that anointing. I don't know why, he just has. And I believe it's because I've been called to these places people don't want to go to. I love it. When I go, Mitch went one time with me. I love it. I love seeing people hungry for the Word. And one thing is, I don't want to preach too much about because it is my ministry and the Lord gave it to me. But the one thing I love about preaching to the incarcerated, it's kind of like, I'm going to say it's a very nice way. It's like preaching to children who are ready. Who are ready. They're done with religion. They're done with the stuff. They want to know, is this message real? Does God really love me? Can he forgive me? And they receive. Okay? So again, I want to go back to anointing. Every one of you, believer in Jesus Christ, has an anointing. And the enemy is going to try it. He's going to do his best to steal it from you. He's going to discourage you. He's going to use all sorts of things. And you know how I know? Because it's right here. I'm going to show you. Okay? So here we have Elisha. asking Elijah what? Okay, the guy asked him. He says, ask what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And what did he ask? Elijah asked, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. A double portion. Didn't I just read in John 14 about the Lord saying, and I'm going to go to my Father, and you're going to do greater works than these. Last I know, double portion is more than just a single portion. Okay, Elijah had a big portion. Elisha asked for a double portion. Okay? So here we have, and did he receive it? Okay, a lot of us ask for things. Sometimes, how do we know receive it? Look right here. Verse 10 said, and he said, you have asked a very hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. If not, it shall not be so. We have a very clear answer. I love the word of God. If you see, if Elisha saw Elijah depart into the Lord's presence, he was going to get it. If he didn't, he wasn't going to get it. Okay? So what happened? Verse 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I have a question for you guys. Did Elisha get it? He got it. He got it by the decree of God's anointed prophet. He said, if you see me when I'm taken up, you get your request. He got it. Elisha got his double portion. Okay? I'm here to tell you, every one of you, servants of God, you have a portion. And the Lord said it's bigger. It's going to be big. It's going to be great. Okay? But the enemy wants to steal it from you. He's a thief. He wants to discourage you. Okay, so let's look what happens. So Elisha got it. He got his double portion. Verse 12. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. He got his request. Verse 13. He also took up the mantle of Elisha that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Okay. So here we have Elisha. He's got the mantle. He's got the cloak of his master, Elijah. Okay. And what did he do? He went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Okay, one of the ways you know you have one of these ways, a lot of people don't know this because they don't test their anointing. The enemy has them so wrapped up in fear, they're afraid to use their anointing. You may have the anointing of an evangelist, but if you're too afraid to use it, you won't know you have it. You may have the anointing of a prophet, but if you don't prophesy, you don't know you have it. So what did he do? Verse 14. Then he took the mantle of Elisha that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the God of Elisha? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. He tested his anointing. He stepped out into his anointing. He could have said, you know, I saw it, I got it, but I'm going to go over around. No, he didn't. He took his mantle. He took his promise. He stood on the promise that was given to him. It was confirmed because he saw Elijah go up in a chariot of fire. And then he took it and he did what? He acted on his anointing. He struck the ground. And what happened? The miracle happened. And I'm here to tell you, when you're operating your anointing, I tell you, the works I've done, boy, they kind of scare me. But I've seen the power of the anointing. Like I said, the guy tried stealing my watch. That's little stuff. I've seen people. I mean, Melissa has seen this happen. One time we were in Chihuahua, and we went to someone's house. And this big guy, he was huge, covered in tattoos. And he spoke English. And he goes right to me and he says, I want to talk to you. And Melissa's like, oh, no. this don't look good. I just remember, I was like, okay, I'm going to talk to you. I said, but we can't do it here. Let's go back. Let's go back in the back of the patio. And we did. And Melissa's like, I don't know what you did, but he came back crying his eyes out because he received. When you're operating in your anointing, there is no fear. You don't need to go to the gym and get pumped up for your anointing. God's going to give you what you need. And it's kind of scary when it does happen, but it's pretty cool because it's not us. It's the Lord working through the anointing. Okay? So here we got Elisha stepped out as anointing. He struck the Jordan and it parted. Does that sound like what just happened a few verses? Same thing. And when one of the things that I love the Lord, he somehow does this to us. He gives us these spiritual fathers, these people that we can look at and go, you know, I want to be like him. And 7 years ago, I was under the tutelage of an ordained pastor. His name is Tony Torres. His wife's name Mary Ellen. And I went into the prisons every other Saturday. Every other Saturday, I went to the prisons in Winslow. There's 2 yards, at least there was at that time. And I watched this man of God lead hundreds, if not thousands. I just couldn't keep track to the Lord. And I remember asking the Lord, I said, I want that. I really do. I want that anointing, what Tony has. And then toward the end, I was like, Lord, can you double it up? And he did. And I've led thousands to the Lord, not to my account, just for the Lord's, all for the Lord's glory. And it's because I did what? I stepped out of my anointing. The Lord asked me early on in the ministry in Winslow, when the guys came up to me and they're like, can you teach us a midweek Bible study? And of course, I asked in English, no, in Spanish. Okay, yeah, I'll do it. And I did it and I loved it. And that the Lord just opened up doors. And again, step out into your anointing, and it's scary. And I think you guys know the history of the Jordan River is in this day, especially in the springtime when the Jordan flowed, it was dangerous. It wasn't like a little brook to like tiptoe through. It was like up to here, you know, it'd take you out if you've ever seen torrents of water. And here, what did he do? He stepped out, he struck it, and what happened? He took the mantle, verse 14, then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and he crossed over. It was divided. When you step out into your anointing, you're going to see things happen. You're going to see waters, the proverbial waters part. You're going to see the demonic spirits flee from your presence. You're going to see these things happen that you can't imagine, but they will. Okay, verse 15. And this is the part I wish. Okay. Do you guys ever remember hearing someone say, I have good news and I have bad news? Okay, here's the bad news. And sometimes bad news, you can handle it better when someone has already warned you about it. Oh, you know what? This bad stuff is going to happen. It will. So look at verse 15. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, and they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Okay, I'm gonna tell you this is a warning. I've seen it. I wish I didn't, but I see it a lot. The Lord has warned us about it. But when you're operating your anointing, those who are not operating in your anointing are going to be offended. They just will be. And the one thing the Lord has taught me is it's not against flesh and blood. Don't look at it that. It's spirits. It's the spirits are upset and they're using those who have given an open door to the spirits. So don't be offended, but it will happen. So what did they do? They came and said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. They confirmed his anointing, right? I mean, I look at that and they know that this man was anointed. And it doesn't say it specifically, but I believe they saw him split the Jordan. I believe so. by just by them saying that. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. They acknowledge his anointing. And when you have your anointing, there'll be those around you. They know it. They can feel it. Okay, verse 16. Again, this is the part I don't like, but it's here. Then they said to him, "Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, Elisha said, "You shall not send anyone." So you're going to get your doubters. The enemy is going to send one of his most common attack is he's going to send doubt. And he's going to send discouragement from people you shouldn't hear it from, but he will. And it hurts. But you've been warned. And again, when you warn, you can handle it better. You just can. I do. I don't like when people make fun of me. I don't like when people say, "Oh, do you really speak Spanish?" I don't like that. But I know what it is. Oh, that's a spirit of discouragement. I don't look at the person who said that. I say, "Oh, that's a spirit of discouragement. Get away from me. That's not of the Lord." So here we have these 50 men. And I'm going to jump out and say they were not operating their anointed. I've never read in the Bible where 50 prophets were all together prophesying together. I just don't. Prophets are supposed to prophesy to people, not to huddle together. So these men said, "We question your anointing," even though the verse before said, "We acknowledge it, but we really don't know he was taken up. Maybe he was transported." We have a joke in Flagstaff, but I won't say it. Okay, you guys know about Sedona, right? You guys know about Sedona. And every once in a while, in the peaks in Flagstaff, you ever see those lenticular clouds? They're round. We call them spaceships because they look like a spaceship. And every time we see them, I'm sorry, Melissa. Every time we see them, they're like, "Oh, it's the mothership. They're going to abduct people, suck their brains out, and drop them off in Sedona." Sorry, that's free. I'm sorry. So what you'll have is you'll have people who are going to doubt your anointing, but don't let them steal it. I can tell you right now, Pastor Barber and Pastor Calvin, they have an anointing. It's the strongest anointing of pastorship I've ever seen. And the enemy's going to want to, I don't know how they can do it, but he'll want to try to steal it from them and discourage them. But they don't need to let that happen. And when you're alongside other brothers and sisters of Christ, don't let that enemy come in. Don't let those words come in that would cast doubt on servants of God who are operating their anointing. Lift them up. Lift them up. That's why we're together. That's why we're supposed to be together. So here we have, they doubted. Even though they acknowledged it, they doubted. They said, "Well, let's go search." And Elisha said, "You will not." Oh, verse 17. But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said to them, "Send them." Therefore, they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but they did not find him. The doubters are going to come. Spirits of discouragement are going to come against your anointing. Be prepared. They will. They shamed Elijah. Okay, shame is not from the Lord. If someone's shaming you, that ain't from the Lord. You throw that out. If discouragement comes, that's not how the Lord works. You throw that out. You say, "Get out of here, you spirit of discouragement. You get out of here, spirit of shame. You get out of here, you spirit that's trying to pull me down from my anointing." And verse 18, and when they came back to him, for he stayed in Jericho, and he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Okay, one thing you got to, when it happens, the doubters are going to come. The spirits of discouragement are going to come. They're going to try to come against your anointing. Throw them out. And verse 19, this is his second miracle. And to my knowledge, Elijah never did this one. Verse 19 says, then the man of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren." And I didn't do research on this. This is for your homework assignment. Jericho was cursed, right? After it came down, there was a curse upon Jericho. And when kings tried rebuilding it, one guy paid with his son. And there is a curse. I can tell you right now, there's a curse over the land. Not just over here. There's a curse over the earth. Satan has a curse over this earth. But I'm going to tell you right now, believers, operating your anointing, you have the answer. You have the answer they need. And it says here, please take notice of this city is pleasant, but as the Lord lives, the water is bad and the ground barren. They got a problem. When you ain't got good water and the ground is bad, you can't live. Verse 20. And he said, this is Elisha, under anointing, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water, cast in the salt there, and said, thus says the Lord, I've healed this water. And from it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. So I'm going to tell you, Elisha didn't heal the land. There was still sickness in the land, just like there's sickness now. And believers, when you're walking in your anointing, there is healing. There is healing in your words. There's healing in your presence. And I mean physical. I mean spiritual. I can go in and out of the prison because they know I have healing in my words for them. I have people asking, so, man, when are you coming back? Because they need more healing. And believers, when you're walking in that anointing, the world's going to see it like never happened before. The land will be healed. Okay? Let me keep going. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Verse 23. Then he went up from there to Bethel, city of God. And as he was going up the road, Bethel, house of God, my mistake. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. So they turned around, he turned around and looked at them. And I'm going to stop right there. Okay, in Jewish culture, and it's true in most cultures, youths do not mock elders. That is offensive. This is incredible. I've never found this kind of offense of a prophet of God. Youths, young men who should have known better. These weren't foreigners. These were people of God's people came to mock him. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you're operating your anointing, you're going to get it. You just will. I have. I know the pastors have. It's going to happen. Okay? Verse 24. And it's going to come from people it shouldn't come from. Family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. It just will. But look at it in the spirit realm. That's why I'm trying to say the spirit world is so close. When you see the spirit fabric, it's so real. These are demons who are coming, are speaking to these people. These are demons who are trying to discourage you. These are demons who are mocking you. Okay? And here we have verse 24, so he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the ewes. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel. And from there, he returned to Samaria. Okay. I can go more, but I'm going to tell you, when you're in your anointing, he's going to take you back to the strongholds of who was before you. You guys remember Carmel? That's where Elisha took down the prophets of Baal. Okay? That was a stronghold, a spiritual stronghold. Don't ignore your strongholds. They're there. Don't ignore them. So he went where first? He went to Mount Carmel. He went to the place where his master got the victory. And the Lord is going to do that to us. He's going to take us back to these places, but he's going to say, I'm going to give you more. 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 Your homework assignment, the guys in the prison and the rehabs, they always ask me, quiero tarea. I give them homework. They want their homework. I give them homework. Your homework. Read all the miracles of Elisha. Man, they're awesome. They're amazing. They're healing. They're restoration. They're power. And the Lord took him to Mount Carmel, the place of the stronghold of his spiritual father. And what did he do? He gave him all these other victories. He gave him all these other victories. When you're in your anointing, the Lord is waiting to give you these victories. The Lord is just keeps showing me. Just keep doing what I told you to do. Don't listen to these. Sometimes these outward influences are sometimes they can be of the devil to discourage you, to get you off track. And I think you guys know this. The Satan uses two things incredibly consistently. No one's ever been able to take this from me. But Satan will waste your time and he'll waste your money. Those are the number one things. I've had people ask me, have you seen people like levitate? No, I've never seen that, but he always wastes my time and tries to waste my money. It's so simple. So operating your anointing, the Lord's going to open up doors. Remember what your anointing is. And if you don't, I'm going to give you, here's another homework assignment. If you don't know what your homework is, If you don't know what your anointing is, look at your parents. Look at your parents. You're going to find good and bad. I guarantee you, you're going to find an anointing. You know the one thing that amazes me is when you have an anointing, let me tell you what the enemy does. He comes against that, okay? And sometimes people buy into the lie, kind of like that trap. Sometimes people really do stick their tongue and touch the trap and get smacked. But believer of God, you don't have to be a victim. God didn't create us to be victim. He created us to be victorious. And when you're operating your anointing, there is no fear. But look at your mom and dad. You may not know your mom and dad real well, but if you do, look at them. Look at the traps they've fallen into. But acknowledge, for every trap they fell into, there's a stronghold that the Lord wanted them to keep them, I'm sorry, the enemy wanted to keep them from receiving. Okay? When I can tell you, I'll give you my own example. I acknowledge the gift of language from my father. I acknowledge the gift of teaching from my mother, but also acknowledge, and it's typical of a lot of Americans, there's a spirit of fear. And the fear wants to rob you of that. Spirit of fear wants to say, you know, you're just not good enough to do that. You can't go into the prison. You know what they do to people who go into the prison? Well, that's fear. And when I go in under the anointing, nothing happens. I mean, I can say, you know, just like the guy tried to steal my watch. No, it's poverty. Get away from me. They will. And so again, look at your parents, but don't dwell on the negative. When you see the negative, realize that the negative is there because your parents had a positive the enemy wanted to squelch. Okay? Remember, the enemy is outnumbered 2-1. 2-1. And he does not have dominion over us unless we give it to him. Okay? I've done this many, many times. Another 3-minute sermon. I'll just give you the snapshot of it. Okay? A thief. Okay, we all know John 10, verse 10. The thief comes, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to get, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that. This is the word of God. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Okay? So my example is, if your dad had a friend who was a thief, and your dad would leave the door open and the guy would come in and steal things from your house, okay, that's a problem. Your dad let the door open, this guy would come in and steal. Okay, now it's your house. Now it's your house. Guess what? It's your house. You can kick that thief out. You can get him out. I don't care if he was your friend or your father. I don't care if your father was in bondage to him. You kick him out. He's a thief. He's coming to steal from you. He's coming to rob your anointing. You kick him out. Okay? I do that a lot because a lot of these drug addicts generation. Heroin addicts. I mean, 3-4 generations. Victims of abuse. Generation. Melissa even saw it just last week of self-mutilation. Horrible. Gets passed on. But again, okay? Okay, my dad may have fallen to that. My mom may have fallen to that. But I ain't. Get out. You're out of here. You're done. And again, when you got the anointing, you got the power. You don't have to call the police. You get out. Okay? So I've got one more 3-minute sermon. Okay? It kind of weaves through. Okay, again, we learn that there are spirits. We can't deny it. They're spirits. They've come in the door. Sometimes through mom, dad, sometimes through me. But we can kick them out. And remember, the enemy's outnumbered 2-1. The Lord, just with his words, could throw him out, could drop him. And I, again, look at Elisha, a man who was called. You're called. I'm speaking to believers in Jesus Christ. Every one of you is called. I don't know everyone well enough, but I probably could go around the room and say, that's your gift, because I've seen it, you operating it. So take your anointing and do what? Strike the water. Step out and do it. Yeah, there's fear, but that's the enemy. And the Lord never, I've never read where the Lord uses fear. He can use anything, but he doesn't really cause us to be fearful. He doesn't. The Lord says, you know, I came to set you free. I didn't give you, you know, it's in Timothy. I do. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. That's not of the Lord. Kick it out. So when you look for your anointing, look at mom and dad. Look at people. Just like I said, I was sitting at a table in Tessia, Mexico, and I looked. Everyone around the room was a teacher. That's an anointing. Okay, I see lots of other examples around here. This praise band right here, that's an anointing. Don't ignore it. This isn't just a group of people who know how to who are musically talented. That's much more than that. Don't let the enemy rob you of your anointing. Operate in your anointing, and then okay, what after you strike the water, take the next step. Heal the land. There are people that are waiting to be healed. I wish you guys could come with me, because I have people come up to me and say, you know, I'm ready to accept the Lord. And they did this to my mentor too, Tony Torres. And Tony would say, but I haven't preached yet. I don't care. I'm ready to accept the Lord. There are people who are ready. They need you. They need you operating your anointing. They need you to come and heal the land. They need you to step out. They don't need you to be fearful. And they don't need you to be perfect. Those guys in the prison, when I make a mistake, and again, not speaking really well, they said, don't worry. They, a lot of times they're like, don't worry about that. Keep talking, man. We need that. Okay? So here we have Elisha. Remember I talked about John 14. You're going to do greater things. The Lord did some beautiful things. But the Lord's people are going to do amazing things. But we can't if we're like that 50 group of prophets who are all huddled up together. And they never got out and prophesied. They never got out and took the land. They never got out and healed the land. They never got out and struck the water. Okay? The enemy loves when the soldiers of God are bundled up in the fortress. they ain't winning the land. Use your anointing. Believers of Jesus Christ at Faith Ministries Church, step out in your anointing. You won't regret it. The Lord has beautiful things for you. And he wants you to take the land. He wants you to heal the land. Okay? I got one last thing. Sorry. I got a little sidetracked. Okay, it's a 3-minute sermon. Some of you guys have been to my house. Some of you guys know I have a passion for a lot of things. But one of the passions I have is for fruit trees. I love fruit trees. I love trees from Israel. And when we first came to the house, we had one walnut tree. That was it, right? No other fruit trees. I planted pomegranates. I planted an almond tree. I planted an apple tree. I planted a fig tree. I planted a peach tree, a plum tree. Am I forgetting anything? Okay. Anyway, I love fruit trees because I love fruit. And the Lord in the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. Is love. Man, I love to see love. Agape love. Pure love. I love to see these big tattoo guys bawling their eyes out because they just accepted the Lord. And they've been restored and healed. That's so cool. I love to see these sometimes they're tattooed on their faces. I love to see them come and say, yeah, I want more of that. Yeah, come here, sit down, right? I love that. I love fruit trees. So I'm going to tell you a secret I do. I've never told lots of people, but I have a secret of how my fruit trees grow. Okay, when I plant my trees, okay, I think you guys know. You guys know, I know Mauro knows, because he was part of the water. It depends where, but in Bisbee where I live, you dig in the ground 4 feet, what are you going to hit? Solid rock. Is it the same thing here? You dig so far down in Douglas, you're going to hit solid rock? Is that true or not? It depends. Okay, where I live, I can't dig a hole deeper than this. I hit solid rock. And I've seen like these septic tank companies come in. They're jackhammering on this rock for days. And it's solid. And I know, so one thing I've learned, I don't fight it. I don't fight it. When I dig my fruit trees, I dig down to the rock. And then what I do is I take a tube. Okay, I put good soil in with my tree. I put good things in with my tree. And I fill it with sand. And I also put a big pipe. You come to my yard, everyone will say, man, what do you got pipes sticking out of the ground for? That's my secret. I get the pipe where I get water down to the rock. I get water. When water goes to rock, you know what happens when water hits a rock? It spreads. And one of the things I learned about my fruit trees is when they get their roots down to the rock, they thrive. Because they can get water. When it's dry out, all I got to do is take a few gallons of water, pour it down to the rock, and it spreads. And I could preach a sermon on that. But when you nourish, go deep. That's where the message, go deep. Go to the rock, because that's where the power is. That's the secret behind all my fruit trees, is I go to the rock. The water gets to the rock, and the trees flourish. I mean, I had some guy come to my house just today. He's like, man, you got good-looking trees. And I told him my secret. It's because I go deep. So when you're operating your anointing, go deep. It'll be scary, but it'll work. Especially when you go deep to the rock. When you go to the rock, things just happen. Anointing, you'll just see things. You'll see miracles. I see miracles. You'll see more. You'll see more than I will, because there's more of you than me. And the Lord even said it. Operate in your anointing. Step out. Again, you guys got the warning. Don't listen to the discouragement. Just rebuke the spirits. Don't get mad at the person that said it. Don't do that. Just say, I don't receive that. That's discouragement. And what did Elijah do? He took the next step and he healed the land. And again, your homework assignment, look at all the other things he did. He healed lepers. He brought the dead back to life. And I could sit and just preach and preach and preach of everything this guy Elisha did. They weren't the big, great, awesome things Elijah did, but they were much more, much more. And every one of you has that anointing to do much more. So permit me to pray, and then we'll close. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We declare that you are the anointed one. We just thankful Jesus for who you are. We thankful Jesus for your forgiveness. We thankful Jesus for the gift you gave us, the power of the Holy Spirit. We just want more and more of you. We don't want us. We want you. Pour out your Spirit upon your people. Pour your anointing upon your people. Lord, we go out in your authority and we cast out the things that are not of you. Lord, we just declare we're your children under your blood, under your mantle, under your covering. We pray these things in your holy name, Jesus Christ. We declare you are the Almighty One, and it's in your holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. God bless you guys.